T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
David Dusek.
It would be a great story for him to win a fifth green jacket. It would be the last really sort of thing to the comeback that we saw. I mean, I was at East Lake during the Tour Championship back in September, and to see the crowds rushing behind him as he walked down 18 was unbelievable. And he would get tons of support from the patrons here, as he always does. He is an elite ball striker right now. His iron play is definitely worthy of somebody who should be considered. He hits the ball far enough, but I don't know that his putting has been consistent enough.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for. Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Brian Wacker of Golf Digest will join us at 10, midday, midway at 10:20. I've got birds on the mind, some bad ones. Some mean ones.
Need help for that?
Something here is there's also a local story going on. There's some sightings. There's all sorts of things. Yeah.
It's big.
Richard Deitch of The Athletic and the Fan 590 in Toronto will join us at 11. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That's the number at WSCR The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight@670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. You want to text, you want to sex, 67011. You can do that. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter at Bernstein_MCK. He is at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. We also have the opportunity for you to download the radio.com app.
Tiger may never lose again.
And that way you can stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page and watch us on these cameras.
Hi.
Watch 670thescore.com Facebook Live, directed by Brian Gertz. The producers today, Christopher Dickens, Rick Camp, and in the back, the executioner doing what he does. He is Ray Diaz. So I realized as this was happening, at about, 15, 16, after he rolls it down the hill of the par three, I realize that that accomplishment yesterday, that is one of the biggest sports stories of my lifetime.
Has to be.
Right. Off the top of my head, Miracle on Ice.
1980, sure.
Cubs win the World Series. Mm-hmm. Tiger winning the Masters in 2019, in some order. Because it is one of the greatest sportsmen who's ever lived, right? You'll stipulate to that?
Oh, absolutely.
I said sportsman instead of athlete, because I didn't want to take it to that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, I don't want to say, as far as athletics go, one of the greatest sports competitors who's ever lived, doing maybe his greatest thing and most improbable thing.
No one thought this would happen.
Right.
Even in people's wildest dreams, it was still something that seemed absurd. You'd have these crazy premonitions of, oh, maybe he'll win another Masters. And even that seemed wild when you were thinking about it, kind of half-crazed, watching a tournament that Tiger was just kind of a part of. It's not even like it was foreshadowed in the last year or so. He finishes sixth. He's got a second. He won at Eagle Creek, I think is what it was.
And it was just enough to allow us to start to envision the possibility, only to then realize that ain't going to happen.
No, all it did for me, all those and it was a quite an accomplishment, at least in watching him. I told you last year that when we were starting this whole the four majors, that each time I watched him swing, I still cringed. Expecting some sort of him crumbling to the ground like he did in 08 against Rocco Mediate. I thought we were going to watch something like that more than likely. I thought it was going to be some sort of epic, titanic crumble and something that betrayed him rather than his actual achievement, rather than him actually winning a Masters, a major championship. It was absolutely 100% incredible. And I, you know, the way the broadcast handled it was pretty impressive. The fact that they moved things up into the morning, that they made it happen. And it felt like, I don't know if you felt this way because you were, I know you were running around all day and had some things to go back and forth on. I was just there on the couch with nothing to do. And I couldn't help but think, like, the rain was on its way, right? And in this way, he was trying to, everybody at the Masters was trying to beat time. They were trying to get this done before it was too late, before it was over, before it ended. And it kind of felt that way, like even as Molinari puts it into Ray's Creek, even four different guys had their golf ball inexorably drawn into that water where Tiger Woods just kept on plugging away and won the thing before it all came down. It was absolutely incredible.
It's fascinating that you bring up a temporal aspect to it, because I reread what I wrote on Thursday. Immediately after our show Thursday, I wrote about the idea of savoring competitive Tiger Woods while we can, whatever's left.
Yeah.
And having the audacity of hope, of being able to think about what it could look like. And that's what I wrote Thursday about, what I was still allowing myself to hope for and allowing myself to be disappointed. This idea of him in red walking up the 18th fairway. The only thing I didn't get were the lengthening shadows because of where the sun was in the sky. The only thing I didn't get. But that's what I was there for the whole time. And so when we say they were trying to get it in, finish, just as you can look at it in the context of his career, in the context of the fact that he's the second oldest Masters winner ever, how much do we have left? Hurry up, do this more. I don't need anything more to tell me he's the greatest golfer who's ever lived.
No, I
don't need anything more.
Yeah, that's fine by me. I know he's got a couple of majors left to win to try and take the record for most major championships. He wins the next one. Whatever his next win is, will tie 82 for total wins on tour. He could win one more and set that record as well. So those are near. Those are close. The major one probably a lot farther away than just winning one more tournament. But he's the greatest golfer of all time. He's probably the second greatest sports figure of my lifetime, because I don't know that anyone... Michael Jordan will always be Michael Jordan. Nobody else happens the way they happened without him. You know, so I think I have to take that into exception. I didn't have Muhammad Ali. I didn't have Jackie Robinson in my lifetime. So that all of that kind of mitigates it a little bit. But Tiger Woods, it was crazy to watch for me, because I'm closer to the younger age. I just assumed for the better part of 15 years that Tiger was going to win when I got to a Sunday. You know, as a kid growing up, it was going to win. Who's going to finish that? Who's he going to beat? Is he going to take down David Duval this time, or is it going to be somebody else? You know, I mean, that's just what it was. And watching him kind of, even on 18 when he just needs the bogey to finish things, I'm going, God, I hope he does this. I hope he finishes the thing off. And it's never felt like that before with him.
And the number of possible storylines unfolding at the end with Dustin Johnson making a run. And look,
where did he come from?
And CBS is getting some blowback for not covering that late run as much as they maybe should have.
And I'm with you.
They're defending themselves by saying that it wasn't really the story. They could have found a way to say, hey, you know, this is kind of a big shooter here.
I agree.
Doing
it was
this.
It wasn't just him too. Patrick Cantlay had that eagle to take the lead or to grab a share of the lead, I think, at 12 under. And then you had Ricky Fowler eyeing up an eagle putt, which would have all of a sudden put him in the top three. And then Dustin Johnson goes on the birdie binge late. And if I was just thinking about this before, I think it was before Tiger hit his tee shot on 16, or maybe it was shortly after or shortly before his putt. I'm thinking about the potential playoff implications. And going, if he gets into a playoff with any one of those guys or all of them, everybody's going to be watching that playoff like, who the hell are these guys and where did they come from? Because none of the broadcasts dealt with Johnson or Cantlay a little bit because they had his big putt, but he would have been in it with guys that you didn't watch for most of Sunday.
How about the cell phone ban allowing for the hand managed scoreboard?
Oh, yeah.
when they're slapping in the red numbers dramatically, waiting, and then firing them up. People didn't know what was going on. You're hearing little murmurs of this. You hear a roar over there and thinking, wait, was this previous? Is this tape delay? What are we seeing here? And to just watch the information playing out so old-fashionedly is fabulous.
I had that. I think it's a great call. I had that as my third favorite image from Sunday. His winning it, the putt. Meets the kids afterward, right where he met his dad in 97. And then when they cut to the scoreboard, when they put that 13 up there, and everybody, because when they pulled it down and you've got that empty spot in the scoreboard, everybody in that tournament goes,
yep,
just like waiting for it. And yep. Then there's a pause and the 13, and everybody loses their mind.
Yeah, I was jumping
up
and down.
Incredible.
My son was so nervous he couldn't stay up in the living room. He had to go down to the basement and watch so he could bounce off the walls, so he could dribble a basketball. And just, he had so much nervous energy watching, and we're yelling to each other up and down the back stairs because he couldn't be in the same room because it was, he had just almost literally bouncing off the walls.
It's overwhelming. I think it's just because of what has transpired. And last year, I was just very lucky to be playing again. And the previous dinner, the Champions dinner, I was really struggling and missed a couple of years of, you know, not playing this great tournament. And then to now be the champion, you know, 22 years, I think, between wins is a long time. But it's just unreal for me to experience this. I mean, my mom was here. She was there in 97 as well. And so I just couldn't be more happy and more excited. And, you know, I'm kind of at a loss for words, really.
Start planning that Champions dinner. Bring back Fuzzy Zeller to make his fried chicken jokes.
Yeah,
this segment brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. If your goal is to get out of your timeshare this year, Timeshare Exit Team has your plan. They'll get you out legally and permanently. Call 844-915-EXIT. 844-915-EXIT or visit timeshareexitteam.com. The Score text line is always entertaining.
It's having a good start to the day.
Just mentioning that this is somewhere in this group at the top of biggest sports stories of my lifetime, being Miracle on Ice, the greatest golfer ever doing one of his greatest things, the Cubs winning the World Series, mm-hmm. and there's several other suggestions. What about LeBron James coming back to Cleveland winning a championship? That's probably top 10.
I've got that on my list. You know, I was born in 1985, so I lose a couple of big things to your timeline there. Obviously, the Miracle on Ice was a gigantic sports story, but I had
Mike Tyson losing to Buster Douglas.
That's big. Michael Jordan's last shot for the Bulls. I think that's really, for me, that was really big. Honestly, I'm surprised. Maybe it's just because this town and because 2016 happened, but the 2004, the Red Sox breaking their curse was a huge, huge sports story.
Yeah, it was.
And I, that's got to be top 10, at least for my lifetime. This, though, eclipses that in terms of national import. I mean, this is just, and the unlikelihood of this ever happening. I put together a whole bunch of fun facts as I was reading through everybody's coverage, and everybody had some really different things. There were, since his 05 Masters Championship, his last one, 35 different champions over the 55 majors. 32 of those 35 different champions were first-time major mm-hmm. champions. What that says to me is something that has been said for the last decade while Tiger has either been not playing or dealing with his own personal problems.
It's the generation he spawned.
It is exactly that. You look at everybody who was in it late, everybody who had a chance, Finau, DJ, Brooks Koepka, Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, all of them grew up watching Tiger Woods. All of them were top 21 world-ranked golfers going into the, it's not as though he took down some, it wasn't Rocco Mediate. It just wasn't. And it was incredible to watch. You've also got, in this whole story, Tiger just playing golf in a way that he's not really... I haven't watched him play golf this way.
Well, it's watching him think the course.
He wasn't in the top 40 in driving distance in that tournament. Tiger Woods, at the course that tried to stop him from winning by lengthening every tee shot they could...
They called it tiger-proofing.
They tiger-proofed an historic course. And he wasn't even top 40 in driving distance, and he won the tournament. He was top 15 in putts, and he was number one in greens in regulation through 4 days at the Masters. That was a different, I mean, that was masterful golf. It really was.
847 texter, the Sox won the World Series also. Yeah, but that wasn't even a major U.S. sports story, let alone global sports story of any kind. No one even watched that World Series.
It was not really all that.
And most people don't even remember that it happened.
National outlets had a problem remembering that it happened.
Yeah, I cried that night too. I was a lifelong White Sox fan whose fandom culminated that night. However, I'm not an idiot, and I know that while it was significant to me, it is the furthest thing from a major sports story of my lifetime. In fact, it was big. It's a minor sports story.
If you read those other headlines, one of those things does not sound like the others. Right. Unfortunately, that's the case.
Correct.
I know it was a thing. Back when Tiger was Tiger, right? David Duval has tweeted about it, and I think it's been really funny. I think it was a response to, I forget which golfer it was, but Duval's response to somebody who just wanted to have faced Tiger when he was at the peak, you know, I wish we had, was the hell you do. That's what Duval's response was. And I know that in the day he had, Woods had gravity. He brought people back to him. The fact that he was on top and dominant, it destroyed other golfers while they were there on the course. It took them down. That happened a little bit yesterday, but I don't know how much of it was Tiger's gravity, and I don't know how much of it was Francesco Molinari just absolutely losing control of himself on a golf course. I don't know how much of it was, you know, Ray's Creek and the wind gusting up just a little bit to affect a couple of short shots and approaches and tee shots on, what is that, 12? That's the par 3 over Ray's Creek. I mean, it was incredible to watch in the span of like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Tiger's there, but Molinari's at 13 under, and he's three shots back, and it's just, maybe he stays in this, but Molinari hasn't made a bogey since, I don't know, 50 holes ago. It's not happening. He puts it in the drink, and all of a sudden, like that, he's back in that tournament, and it's the tee shot on 16.
And having heard Tiger talk about how he sees Augusta, it's fascinating that he's an encyclopedia. He knows every blade of grass on that course. He knows every green. He knows every possible permutation of every single pine needle on that course. So when he says, he always talks about knowing where I can miss. And you talk about driving distance and all that, how he's factored all of that in, the way he sees the way the ball is traveling in the air, the fact that he can just kind of sniff out when he sees the other guys hit the ball and what club they're hitting and what he's got to do. And he knows the likely distances and trajectories of everybody else too. But when he knows where to miss and he's taking out certain places of the course where he doesn't want to be and combines that with enough command of his game, he's playing at a different level. It's his head. You can talk all you want about his body, all you want about his back, but it is that mind, that golf mind is still there in a way that puts him in a different place from some of these other people.
Just look at the way he played 18. He knew he just had a bogey to win the thing.
The 2-1 night. He
just did.
You got to stop it. How can either one of you not put the 2005 White Sox winning the World Series in your top three? Because it's an objective top three. It's talking about this is an international sports story. It is one of the biggest sports stories of my lifetime. It is not my favorite. It's not about judging this by what my personal favorites are.
Or what it meant to you.
It is the actual objective size and meaning of the story.
I'm sorry, guys. That's me sending in all those texts about the White Sox.
Would you stop?
I got to cut it out.
Yeah, Kevbo, stop doing that. We've got a lot more to come. And then at the top of the hour, Brian Wacker of Golf Digest going to put some of this in perspective for us. Want to know sort of your stories and what your relationship was like with this event and what this all meant. But this is, I'm sorry, it's really damn cool.
It's incredible.
Huge.
There's one more did you know into this tournament.
Okay.
Tiger did something for the first time ever yesterday. For the first time ever. He's been on it there forever.
I think I know.
He's never done that before. We'll tell you what it is next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Two things. One, Tiger's chance, what do you think?
Nil.
Really?
I don't think he's going to keep his drive in the fairway. I don't think he can do it. And also, I don't think you can be 141st in the world under 10 feet putting and win at the Augusta. I don't think you can. He's 140. He's 141st in the world from inside 10 feet, and you can't win at Augusta. Yep. You got to make too many putts at Augusta from 7 and 8 feet to have any chance. Yeah, so I cannot see. I apologize. I didn't know there was a last one. I cannot see Tiger winning.
To the point where it's almost like he's doing a bit.
Almost, yeah. Almost. Easy bit to do. I mean, nobody would have seen him doing
feel
this.
Bad for him at this point.
He's not. I mean, that's that one.
Not when you see the paycheck.
Yeah, well.
I know. It just
$8.95 for that app. You know what that is? $8.95 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Totally worth it. He was top 15 in putts over the weekend. Tiger was. I mean, he's right. You can't putt like he had from those distances and win. Like that's very difficult to do. However, he didn't putt like that over 4 days. He just didn't. Although when he missed the par putt on 18, I did for a moment go, oh God, what if? Like, what if he beats this thing around the green three or four more times and then we're stuck in a playoff or even worse? For the first time ever, Tiger won when trailing going into the final day of a major.
Say that again.
For the first time in his career. He won when trailing heading into the final day. He'd never done that before.
Is that meaningful?
I don't know if it's meaningful to his career necessarily, but you think about all, I mean, that was as we got to 06, 07, 08, right? As we got to the knee surgery and the US Open in 08 where he collapses after one of the fairway shots, all that stuff. It was quite often thrown at, because I think people were trying. At least it seems to me in the middle 2000s, people were trying to find arrows to throw at Tiger. They were trying to find ways to pierce his game.
And one of them was because he has so much endorsement money, because he's so fabulously generationally wealthy, no matter what, because of Nike, et cetera, that he doesn't have to be nervous while standing over a putt, which I always thought was absolute hooey because of his level of competitiveness, his level of drive, and the standards to which he held himself, that one was completely independent of the other.
He's not like you or me or random person on the Golf Channel with a microphone on their popped collar and talking about whatever. It's not the same guy. It's not the same kind of person. It's not the same skill set. It's not the same wiring. And for a lot of those reasons, Tiger is an unbelievable story. But the other thing that got thrown at him was that he just – he'll never come from behind. He's got to be on top to win, which I also thought was ridiculous. Because then you're, okay, yeah, 3 days of dominance and then just holding on to 3 days of abject and utter dominance isn't good. Like, that's somehow less than coming from behind and making some sort of fairy tale happen.
He blows away a major by 15 strokes. You're holding that against him. Right.
That's bad. Are you kidding me? But really, he is. I mean, this kind of completes, well, not completes, but this kind of is the modern American fable, right? I mean, you have early celebrity, very early celebrity for Tiger Woods.
It's the monomyth.
You have his public fall, which is seemingly part of the American fable right now.
It's the monomyth. You're talking Luke Skywalker, Harry Potter.
A little bit, but
the idea of going into the wilderness.
Yeah, he has to go, sure, but there is a public disgrace endemic in what I feel now is like this American fable, like these what we have now come to understand.
That he brought upon himself.
Oh, absolutely.
This isn't some Christ figure here.
No, it's absolutely not.
He's responsible for this.
That's kind of why I push back against the monomyth just a little bit when it comes to Tiger, because these are of his own making.
But
part
of the monomyth, too, is dealing with who you are, discovering the journey.
Yeah, but through no choice of your own. Like, your heritage creates this central figure, whereas really what happened here are choices he made and lifestyles he... And I don't think that has to play into how you view Tiger Woods right now. It doesn't, because in some weird way, because his failures and setbacks from a personal level were so public, you almost, at least to me, it doesn't feel like they really need to be hashed out here. But I don't have to go through all of his problems.
We all
you
lived
know
every,
them.
Every mugshot.
He
every,
was
yeah.
on the back page of the New York Post every day. He set a record. He was on the back page more consecutive days than national tragedy. I don't need to tell you all of the issues the Tigers had. Happy to do it if you want to talk about how part of the myth that makes him, or how part of the fabric it makes him. But it seems to me that what happened yesterday, the unlikelihood of it happening, makes it so titanic.
When we heard earlier today, was it Rich Lederer who was on, or Lerner was talking about the percentage of tournaments that Tiger Woods has won. And the fact that like one out of every four tournaments, he's won. And I was trying to put together the idea, if we looked at his greatness through the prism of a Jaws score, what Jay Jaffe does, when Jay Jaffe looks at Baseball Hall of Famers, there is the totality
like
of
John Williams
of the career. No, there's the totality of the career.
Yeah.
And that is absolute all the counting stats and all of what you've done. And then there's also a multiplier of how great you were at your greatest relative to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And by that measure, I mean, Jack Nicklaus was a great golfer. He was not this good.
No, he was the second. He's the second greatest golfer of all time.
He's the second greatest golfer of all time. You cannot fathom, relative to competition, relative to era, to actually put together a Jaffe Jaws score for this kind of thing. And if you looked at it that way, objectively, there's no you can't make any other case than Woods being the greatest who's ever lived.
Have you seen the video that a sports marketing agency had put out? It was just a little while ago. I think it's as he finished second in the U.S. Open or something like that just a little while ago. PGA Championship, sorry. And it's Tiger watching a video. It's a compilation of every talking head they could find, nationally or otherwise, saying that he's done, that unequivocally he will not come back. It's the headline on Sports Illustrated. I think it was 2 years ago. He is utterly he's done. It's not happening ever again. And you watch him watch it, and his reaction to it is wordless. He doesn't in the video. He doesn't say anything. He just kind of looks up and smiles and just kind of shakes his head. And it's incredible to watch that happen, and incredible to hear stories from those who were with him, you know, at the Champions dinner in 17, where he's got to get a nerve block to sit for a couple hours at a dinner, and he's telling people he thinks he's done. He thinks he's done playing golf at a competitive level. 2 years later, he's going to pick the menu at the Champions dinner. It's incredible.
We're going to talk with Brian Wacker of Golf Digest, host of the Playing Through podcast. He's going to help put some of this in perspective next on Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.